This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
It's time for the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill Studios, across from Tropicana Field in downtown St. Petersburg, Florida. Providing a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps and the pros across Tampa Bay and the USA. Get your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and your host, Mike Rickard and Ben Botham.
Good afternoon, Tampa Bay, and welcome to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on this Final Four Saturday, April 1st, April Fool's Day, live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill Studios, across from Tropicana Field in downtown St. Pete. We're out back today. I'm sitting across from Savannah State number one draft pick Ben Botham, and now he's a Seminole Warhawk high school baseball coach. Had a nice week on the Seminole Warhawk side of things, and we got a great show. Actually, we're going to talk to Oresti Destrada, talk a little bit about opening week, and we're going to talk about the World Baseball Classic that he was heavily involved with. We were going to try to do that last week. He was a little under the weather. Japan successful in that, And I've been stealing your take on that, the fundamentals that they implement in Japan, and we need to get our act together.
Hey, I'm very all right with that, Mike. I'll take that every day. More people advocating for it, the better.
Absolutely. So we'll talk to him, and then, of course, we're going to have a little high school baseball. We'll have the Largo Packers down here. We'll have a little Triton time with the ladies, the soccer ladies. They'll be up. We're out back, like I said, looking at Tropicana, where there's a 4-10 pitch. Tigers and Rays. Opening day was an absolute blast down here. I know you were in the classroom. I applaud you for that, but you would have been in heaven.
I know. I wish I could have played hooky, Mike. I wanted to get out of there so fast, but, you know, business calls at the school, got to teach the youth.
Well, we probably had 2,500 to 3,000 people roll through Ferg's, just Ferg's alone. We had a collaboration with the Michigan Sports Network, and we were fortunate to be on 20 stations up there. Then we did a RadioSt.Pete.com launch. Joel Bardot did a superb job. And this is a guy that's coming up next that knows a lot about opening days. But it was absolute party. Afterwards, we had a band in the back, band inside, band outside. We were rocking and rolling. You know, a victory, of course. And there was a onslaught of Michigan Tiger fans here. It was crazy. And looks like today we got a lot of tickets out too. So today with a 4-10 pitch and tomorrow 1-10 pitch, and looking forward to that.
Oh yeah, it was great. I mean, once again, the Rays sell for the 17th consecutive season at the Trop. That's excluding, of course, the 2020 season with COVID, but they sold out 25,025 seats, Mike, for the 25th anniversary.
And please keep that up, fans. And there's a guy that's been following them for over a decade, and he is Oresti Destrada. How are you, my man? How are you feeling this week?
I'm feeling a lot better, Mikey. I appreciate it. I was very, very, very under the weather there for a few days. I had the highs of the WBC and an incredible global experience that was, and Miami was obviously the host. I'm actually down in Miami again, as last night the Fish honored myself and Jeff Conine and a couple others, OGs from the original 1993 April 5th opening day, the first, you know, team ever in the state of Florida on the major league level. So, and I was a proud native son, Cuban born, Miami raised representative. So last night was a beautiful night.
You know what? It still baffles me that it took till 1993, Big O,
yeah,
to have a Major League Baseball franchise where all of the spring training was taking place over those years. It's the Sunshine State is known for baseball. That just absolutely floors me.
It was
hindsight.
Weird when you think about it, because, I mean, you had even like areas, for example, Montreal, you know, garnered a team. A lot of the northern cities and states were garnering teams when, you know, all along, like you said, and you had like super history. I mean, you had Satchel Paige pitching in Miami back in the 40s and 50s, you know, with the original Miami Marlins, you know, and so you had a strong AAA influence in the state of Florida. So, I mean, the next level up from AAA is, boom, let's get a major league team. It worked like that in a lot of the smaller, you know, cities, you know, 100 years ago. And so, yeah, you, that's a good point. Yeah, it was a little surprising, but it got done, and I sure am glad that I was a part of it.
Now, there was actually a Florida Marlins AAA team?
I believe there was, right? Or Miami Marlins, AAA, something like that. Where was that?
Yeah, I believe there was a team somewhere down south there in Miami. Yeah. But, you know, it was great to see, though, that the Miami Marlins, or the Florida Marlins, I guess for opening day, they put on their throwback uniforms along with the Rays, who will be doing the same thing every Friday throughout the season.
Yeah, that is something that they're going to be doing every Friday. And, you know, and not just commemorating. Obviously, it started last night with the OGs, you know, the originals, but also commemorating, you know, both for the Rays and the Marlins. You know, so many interesting, different, you know, things that happened, including World Series appearances. Obviously, the Rays in 08 and in 20 haven't been able to garner that championship just yet, but they've gone a couple of times. The Marlins have gone a couple of times and won both times. So these have been cool, exciting, upstart teams, a lot of times little engines that could, and there's a lot of history to be thankful for.
Well, you were in the midst of history. Let's talk a little bit about the World Baseball Classic. And, you know, you look like you were just having an absolute ball, my friend, the night of that championship and Japan's victory and what was just an incredible finish with Ohtani and, of course, Mike Trout, the teammates. You couldn't have scripted it any better.
No, you couldn't, man. I obviously, with my tenure and my time with the Cebu Lions over in Tokyo, outside of Tokyo in Japan, I have a love for Japan. I consider myself Cuban born, so very Cuban, extremely American raised, and I love being a good old American. But I'm also Japanese. So I really feel like I got a third of each of the countries, and I speak Japanese as well as obviously English and Spanish. So they taken to me, and that wasn't without Mike, like success, because not only did I have some really great years, but we won back-to-back-to-back Japan series. And for those that don't really understand the Japanese baseball, it's parallel as far as dates. You know what I mean? They start spring training, and the season starts right now, just like it has for us. And they have an October Classic. And on my team, the Lions won in 90, 91, and 92. Hasn't been done again. There hasn't been a three-peat in the Japan Major Leagues since. So we're very well-remembered, and they still really care to me, man. They retired my number 2018. They flew me out there. 45,000 people, you know, came to that game, and they had to order this throughout the bobblehead night. And, you know, their normal attendance is around 30, 35, and they had 45,000 people show up. And it was really something special. And I continue. Now I'm going to be going back regularly. I signed a deal to kind of basically be kind of an ambassador, you know, to baseball over in Japan and back here in the United States. And some of the things happened to tie in with Team Japan and the WBC, which was just beyond the fact that I was very happy that Team Japan won because of my involvement with them. But what a great event that ended up being. I think it surprised most that, you know, the drama in that nice short, basically couple of week series, you know, surprise teams like Mexico, surprise teams like Cuba. And then it ended up hitting the two best, you know, countries playing this game right now. And that is USA and Japan, with arguably the two best players in the world in Trout and Shohei Ohtani. This guy is something to just soak in. And if you're a fan of just sports, you have to appreciate what Shohei Ohtani means to the world of sport.
You know, Al, I was so impressed by his motivational, at such a young age, his motivational message to his teammates.
Yeah.
And Ben and I are talked about it, and I think it bodes true. He said, you know, we grew up idolizing the American game and these players. Well, it's our time to shine, and to leave that in the background. We still want to give them their respect, but this is our time to take home, you know, the third championship. But what a message from a young man, a wise young man.
Well, you know, I'll tell you why this is pertinent and why it kind of people look at it. Hey, why are they feel that way? You know, they've won two. Going into that, you know, final game, there had been five WBCs. They had won two out of four. You know, they were dominant. Number one, they're very dominant when it comes to short series because of the fact that they pitch and catch so well. We're Rays fans, right? And one of the reasons the Rays continually, perpetually have been playing such great baseball, maybe can't get over the hump and win that championship, but nevertheless are always in the mix. Pitching, great defense. So I knew they were going to be in the hunt again. But the reason, Mike, that they say that, and he made that mention in almost like taboo type of a way by saying, hey, let's not be afraid of them, is because I lived it. I was over there, and I played with guys right at the cusp of them finally deciding we're going to go to try the big leagues. And that catalyst player was by the name of Hideo Nomo. But prior to Hideo Nomo in the mid-90s, taking that excursion, I was around it, and I could see that there was an awe. There was like some sort of veil that the major leagues and kind of hypnosis had over the Japanese players. And I'm there playing. My center fielder was a guy by the name of Akiyama, who's in the Hall of Fame in Japan. When I first got there and started playing with him, I go, holy shnikey. This guy's as good as Torrey Hunter. He's as good as, you know, Andy Van Slyke. He's as good as any of the center fielders that I played with or against, you know, way above average. The guy was a 40-40 guy on my team. And 6'2", 200 pounds, chiseled, could fly. And I'm going, why is this guy who lockers next to me telling me, no, I can't play in the major leagues. No. And every time somebody would come in, you know, Mike Diaz would come in as a visiting player. Willie Upshaw would come in as a visiting player. Tony Bernazet would come in as a visiting player. They're like, dude, that guy at Guillaume can play in the major leagues right now. But they had this kind of, like, apprehension. Well, years later, Nomo breaks the ice, pitching-wise. Ichiro breaks the ice, hitting-wise. Matsui breaks the ice hitting-wise. Tanaka, the list is pretty extensive. And they're finally, even though still have this respect, it's finally getting to the point where people are realizing these are some of the best players in the world when it comes to baseball.
Well, and it's all, you know, I'm not a huge NBA fan until the playoffs, but it's kind of what's happened to the NBA. It's become a global game, and they realize that players from all over the world can participate. Japan, obviously, has proven itself that it can send a steady stream. I remember when I was with the Cubs organization, Nomo came and to our park, and it fell 15,000, and he was such a phenom. He's only going to throw 3 or 4, and it was late April, early May.
It was later on, yeah, he was finishing, yeah.
And I think we had 20,000, standing room only. Everybody wanted to see Nomo.
He was something else. I had some great battles with him. And honestly, a quick normal, you know, like recap, people don't realize what pressure that guy had. They had never, it had only been one of the Japanese, and it was by accident that pitched in the major leagues. And why reasons by accident that for many, many years, there was exchanges by Japanese and American teams, right? The Giants and the Giants, the Tokyo Giants and the San Francisco Giants were one of those teams that had these little nice little exchanges. And the exchanges are this. They would send A-ball or AA-type players with their little 18, 19, 20-year-olds to Modesto or to Iowa, you know, or to one of these little, not even Iowa, not even AAA, like A-ball, AA, and let them get a little bit of experience, you know, experience American baseball. Then they would quickly bring them back, and by that time, they were ready to jump into the Japan Major Leagues, right? Well, it happened that in 1963, I think it was, there was a little lefty that was pitching in Double A And the Giants had like four or five injuries back-to-back-to-back in their pitching. They were depleted all the way down to Double A. And they called this guy. They asked the Giants in Tokyo, can we call? His name is, they called him Mashi. Can we call Mashi up? He was the first one to ever pitch in the major leagues. He did okay, won a couple of games, season ended. And the Tokyo Giants said, yeah, you're never going back, you know, you're ours. And he ended up not really having a nondescript career as a pitcher in Japan. Well, then you fast forward, and it took 32 years for anybody to have the you-know-what and say, I'm leaving Japan, and that was Nomo. If Nomo had failed, it would have been one of the most embarrassing scenarios in the history of sports in Japan, ever. And he knew it, but he was that confident, and he ended up being that good, throwing a no-hitter both in the American League, I mean the National League and the American League, winning Rookie of the Year, the rest is history, that he broke the ice in so many ways. I mean, this isn't Jackie Robinson type level. I'm not going to get that far. But it was surreal. And one day somebody's going to do a true documentary about this, because the pressures that Japan put on his people to not lose face. And he didn't, but he could very well could have.
Well, my man, a real quick recap. The opener looks like the Rays for 2023 putting the nucleus together to be competitive, if not potentially shock the world and win that East.
Brother, listen, it's another year that I believe the Rays have the wherewithal pitching-wise and defense-wise. The key is going to be really kind of up the middle beyond the pitching. And if they can stay healthy with the likes of Wander Franco and Brandon Lau. Last year, both went down not once, but twice each during the season. And they cannot afford those two catalysts going down for extended periods of time. As much as they got nice little players that come up and down and whatnot, they don't weather that storm, because they don't have, where they lack eventually, Mike, is that they don't have that depthness, that deepness, that depth that you can, you know, by spending an extra 10, 15, or 20 million, and that would get it for you, but they don't do it in order to get over the hump, whether it's another quality pitcher or really another quality bat. So, but if they do stay healthy, holy shnikey, yeah, I think that with their pitching staff, here comes around the corner Tyler Glass now. He's going to be hot and hungry. This could be another interesting year. I still believe Yankees and Toronto are the teams to beat, and it's going to be a fun, another Beast of the East type of a season. Hey, one last thing I'm going to say about, because yesterday I was reminded of it, about opening day and the beauty of opening day. I'm going to propose to Rob Manfred, who I ran into at the WBC, next time I get a chance to see him, maybe at the All-Star game, that I want to propose a thing called the Pulley Pick in honor of the late Frank Pulley. Because I think that maybe it'll be able to implement it by next year. Opening day is like such almost like a holiday for the country, right? There's no other sport, you know, that has the impact that first pitch has in for us as opening day, right, in America. Dropping the puck, kicking, kickoff, tip off. They pale to first pitch. Wouldn't you agree, Mike?
Without a shadow of a doubt, I did about 5 hours of radio down here live at Ferg's. We had 3,000 strong coming through.
Opening day is crazy. We did
a collaboration with the Michigan Sports Network, and we talked about it. We said across America, there's hope in every city on that opening day, and young kids, old people. It's festive. In Cincinnati, they have a freaking parade, man. You're right. I mean, it's an absolute.
It's
the launch of spring.
So here's what I want to propose. So I'll never forget being at first base, crouching in Tommy Lasorda's Dodgers, April 5th, 1993. Joe DiMaggio had just thrown out the first pitch in honorary, and Charlie Huff is throwing a knuckleball that Benito Santiago's behind the plate. Frank Pulley, the very, very, loud and though diminutive umpire, was behind the plate. Offerman, is always the type that could lay a bunt. So I was in tight. Dave Magadan was in tight. at third base. Here comes the knuckleball. That sucker was nowhere near a strike. And Frank Pulley, 44,000 people are there, mind you. First pitch of the season and ever for the Marlins. That pitch almost goes out of the strike zone, and Frank Pulley goes, strike! And it stunned me at first base. I literally kind of stopped and looked. I'm in the middle of my first game ever as a month, and I go, that was freaking awesome. And I think that baseball should honorarily have, so the 15 teams that are holding their opener, right, they should make it where that first pitch would be a four-seam fastball. The player is not allowed to swing, and that whole crowd gets a strike to start out the season. Just one strike. Here comes the pitch, and everybody knows that umpire can call a loud strike. Strike one, and everybody freaks out. Because you know why I'm telling you this? Because 5 years later, I played for another 3 or 4 years. I went back to Japan. I end up retiring. Mr. Vince Amoli, may rest in peace, hires me right off the bat, and I'm sitting in 98 as a front office person for the part of the now Tampa Bay Rays playing their first game ever, right? Wilson Alvarez is throwing out that first pitch. He throws the fastball that's taken by the Detroit hitter. I can't remember who it was who led off the game. First pitch ever for the Tampa Bay Rays. That sucker was not that far off the plate. The umpire calls it a ball. I remember it being so duddish. You know what I mean? It was like, ball one. I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? Man, I think they should call it the Pulley pitch in honor of Frank Pulley. And then when those 15 teams that are on the road get to their home opener, they get a Pulley pitch, and everybody get, you know you're going to have one of your biggest crowds, you know? Think about the Marlins and the Rays. You just said it, Mike. They had another sellout, right? I was down here at the fish opener, but I didn't make the drop 17th opener.
17th consecutive. 17th consecutive.
So for that one time, you get that strike one. Everybody freaks out. And the party begins, and the season truly begins. And then all 30 teams get to experience that within that first week of the season. Don't you think it's a great idea?
If anybody can lobby Manfred for something
I'm
like this.
I'm lobbying for that bitch. I'm telling you right now. And I want to actually honor Frank Pulley, who passed away, and call it the Pulley pitch.
Well, I think you can get that done, my man. Well, we'll let you get back to the rest of your day. I certainly appreciate you taking time.
You got it, my friend. Have a great continue of the show. God love baseball and the Tampa Bay area.
Next time you're down here, Fergs, I'll buy you beverages and a bite, and we'll share some stories.
You got it, my friend. Good talking to you again, Mikey.
All right. Have a great weekend. Later. And he's, of course, he's got some great stories and great history, and I could just sit and listen. I know you could for hours to a big O, as they call him.
Oh, yeah, that was great, Mike. Great stories. Once again, you know, opening day is probably the best day of the year for me. This was the first time in 55 years that every MLB team started on the same day, Mike. Isn't that something?
That is amazing.
Waited 55 years for whoever schedules all these games to finally have the bright idea to bring it back and have every game start on the same day. My only issue is that Friday, the day after, 15 teams aren't playing.
Well, a big factor of that has to do with the weather. You realize that.
I do understand that. You know, they keep Friday open because they can put it down as the next day. Okay, whatever.
It's a reality. It's a reality.
It's such a dud.
When people aren't coming to the park because it's raining. Look at the storms they're having right now.
Oh, you're right.
Horrible storms. You would have had about 13 games canceled. I was watching the Weather Channel today. So I see where you're coming from because we're down here. We don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, we got it.
If you're up north, it's just a fact of life. So trying to forecast and predict Mother Nature is difficult to do. So I understand that wasn't a Manfred.
I'm not blaming anybody. I'm just saying in general, you know, you got the Marlins Stadium, you got the Rays Stadium. Those stadiums should be packed on Friday. It's a Friday, the day after opening day. Let's pack it full and let's have a great day of Rays baseball.
I agree. But it was an absolute blast down here. And I like the way that they did, you know, it's the 25th anniversary, and they made certain that the Detroit Tigers were the opponent on that first pitch, as Rusty just alluded to, and he was at first base. Very cool there, and And I like the fact that we had that rich tradition, and we talked a lot about that on our broadcast down here on Thursday at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. All right, we're going to take a break, come back. I'm looking for the Eckert Soccer Girls. They may be lost looking for us. Nobody is and maybe Mark is. Mark, did you see the Eckert Soccer Girls looking for us? We'll put an MIA out there. They may not know we're up here. I sent some texts, but we'll be back with the Eckert Soccer Girls, a little Triton time. And then, of course, we'll talk a little high school baseball. We'll talk March Madness, and we'll talk baseball with baseball Ben Botham. We'll be back on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network.
The first quarter is over.
Never show weakness. The only pain that matters is the pain you inflict.
Keep your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Are you ready to rock?
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill at the corner of 13th and Central across from the Trop in downtown St. Pete, serving Champa Bay for over 29 years, is your iconic headquarters to catch your favorite teams in action with over 95 televisions, 35,000 square feet to serve private parties, game watching events, concerts, and of course all the Rays, Bucks, and Lightning action along with your favorite collegiate teams. Join the party every game at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Visit RadioSaintPete.com for a great variety of local audio programs, live coverage of local events, award-winning syndicated radio programs, over 800 Tampa Bay musicians, and of course, local sports coverage. Download the free Radio St. Pete apps or find RadioSaintPete.com on your enabled speakers. RadioSaintPete.com is where local music lives.
It's another weekend. You can wash the car today.
No.
You can mow the grass today.
No.
You can go fishing.
Oh, hell yeah.
When it's time to go fishing or head out on the water, your first stop should be at Angler 360. Angler 360 is located on the Dunedin Causeway and is the one-stop shop for all your fishing needs and water recreational needs. Angler 360 has rods, reels, live and frozen bait, tackle, beer, and soda, plus apparel and sunglasses. Make sure you stop in and see exactly why Angler 360 is the premier bait and tackle destination in the Tampa Bay area. Visit them at angler360.com.
Pulling out all the stops in the fourth.
All right, let's go.
Time to bring it home with the dub.
Let's get rocking.
Stick to the game plan with a Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Let's rock this joint.
On the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
The Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. I'm Mike Rickard alongside baseball Ben Botham. We're efforting. We've got an MIA out on the Eckert girls soccer team, the Tritons. But nice conversation with Orestes Estrada. He is a walking encyclopedia of Japanese baseball. Ooh, talk about a talented man. He speaks Spanish, Japanese, and English. Yes. I have a hard enough time with the English.
Hey, I bumbled and fumbled my way with some of my Hispanic teammates when I played baseball. And, hey, God bless him. I don't know how he does it. It took me quite a while just to be able to, you know, say baseball in Spanish. And that's about it.
How do you say baseball in Spanish?
I think it's pelota. Dos pelotos. I don't know.
You don't even know that?
I forgot, Mike. I'm
baseball, Ben Botham. Come on, man. Hey, we're live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, of course. Over 100 televisions today at 410 is the Detroit Tigers and the Rays at Tropicana Field. I think we got about 15, 16,000 tickets out, which is a nice crowd. To have 25,000 on Thursday is incredible. And if we can just sustain some momentum and average about 10, it'd be nice if you could average 10, 12,000 for the course of the year.
You should be able to.
That's not asking a lot.
No, it's definitely not, especially with the amount of people in this area and how great a day this is, Mike. I mean, look, you feel that breeze? This is amazing.
It is a wonderful day. You think they'll open up the roof today? Maybe the next stadium, I think they will. Hey, let's thank our affiliates on Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. We've got some very exciting news coming down the pike here soon. WTAN 106.1 FM and AM 1340. That's Clearwater, St. Pete, Tampa. WZHR FM 104.3 FM and AM 1350 Zephyr Hills. And WZHR 102.3 FM, AM 1400. Covering all of Tampa Bay and streaming live on Tantalk1340.com. And of course, our good friends at RadioSt.Pete.com, Joe Boudreau. We're going to put up our show from Thursday. We had a lot of fun, a 1 hour show before the first pitch. And then, of course, our streaming channel, FloridaSportsStream.com. We have been doing some testing, and this April, we will be live with, right now I've got earmarked 22 productions, and those are podcasts in the area. If you're listening and you have a podcast and you would like to participate, just reach out to us, message us on our Facebook. And speaking of Facebook, I want to give my kudos. You haven't been out to see what Joe Geiger, our 17-year-old Boca Ciega Pirate, has done. You should see the Marlins. I'm going to show it to you. The opening day, including the Marlins, including the Rays, that he put together in a baseball promo for Florida. The kid's a wizard at 17. Very impressive. I'm even more impressed than what they did for the Rays for their Facebook piece. So very cool there. We're brought to you by Shipyard Brewing, Ice Pick Vodka. And, of course, that conversation with Orestes Destrada was brought to you by both of them. And we got some exciting news there as well. And today... tonight, actually, at 6:09, your Florida Atlantic Owls, the Beach Boys, they take on San Diego State, the Aztecs. And you've got a little factoid that was interesting regarding San Diego State and the Aztecs. Yeah, blew me away, actually.
Yeah, even though, you know, FAU is the team I selected, Mike, of course, with my infinite knowledge of basketball. San Diego State has none other than Mr. Padre himself, Tony Gwynn, as their all-time assist leader. I never would have thought that, Mike. I don't know a lot about basketball, but I know my baseball skills haven't translated to basketball. So kudos to him for being able to put up such numbers for their team.
Well, I didn't even know he played basketball.
Nor did I. I saw the picture of him, and it was quite a lovely picture. Huge old afro, and... It was quite the picture. Definitely a throwback.
Delivering the rock as well as hitting the rock, basically.
Certainly.
Tony Gwynn, God rest his soul. He was a phenomenal athlete.
Oh, he really was.
And certainly, we're good with this one, I think.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? Oh, so when you looked at him, a little portly, he just had the quick hands, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's something a lot of guys don't have nowadays. A lot of hitters now have a long sweeping swing because it's all about ball flight today. He was able to get the hits and get the job done that a lot of players today just don't do.
Here's a fact that you'd like, Mark. Tony Gwynn, the great hitter that he was, San Diego State that's playing tonight in the Final Four, was the all-time leading assist leader for the basketball team. Tony Gwynn, I would have never gathered that. You know, the little portly one that he was. He had wheels, though.
Yeah, he certainly did. You know, it's great to see. You know, there's a little bit of tie-in from the two sports. It keeps me interested enough and enough for me to even look up what's going on in March Madness, Mike. Who's your team now? Are you rooting for the Owls?
I'm on the Beach Boys bandwagon, and at 8:49, UConn, the favorite, take on the Miami, Florida Hurricanes, and a battle. Having two teams in a Final Four is amazing from the state of Florida, given the condition of their teams this year. Florida was down. Florida State had a horrendous year. Typically, Leonard Hamilton, Sweet 16, Elite Eight, has done a superb job for years there. So it's Miami representing and Florida Atlantic and UConn. But the way things are going, and everybody's saying UConn to win it all. We've been saying that every game so far. And the same thing happened on the women's side last night as Virginia Tech took care of business. I went down to LSU, and then Iowa shocked the world. I know people tired of me talking about Iowa, but 11.5-point dogs, underdogs, and they shocked 36-0 South Carolina, the Lady Gamecocks, and beat them last night behind Caitlin Clark's 40-some points, the Naismith Women's Player of the Year. So just an incredible Final Four, March Madness on both sides. You know, March Madness, March Sadness. The reality is, speaking of March Madness, March Sadness and debate, the Big O, Oscar Garner III, was going to be here with Alex Reba.
Sure.
Big O and the Axeman in the last segment. And, you know, he's a Michigan State guy. I think it'd be tougher. The Big O ran a 5K, and he just called in.
Just called in?
Yeah. No showing me. I had to call an audible. I've sustained damage. So you think he's talking to his boss at freaking Raymond James? Just got this text. Mike, I had to call an audible. I've sustained damages from the 5K I ran today. Reba is going to carry that segment. Sustained damages. My God, you're 24 years old. How do you sustain damages in a 5K unless you got hit by a car?
Hey, Mike, I don't blame him. I was playing a little bit of spike ball the other day with some of my kids on the team. Holy moly, Mike. My knees were aching. My back was hurt.
You're 24 years old.
I do a lot of sitting on the bench coaching that team, Mike. I've fallen out of shape, unfortunately.
Take 66, and every day it's another ailment that sneaks up on me. I was here for 12 hours. No, about 11 and a half hours, almost 12 hours on Thursday. Up and down the steps. I put in like 11,000 steps on my meter, and then we did the radio show. I got home on Thursday night. I got to my recliner. I couldn't get out of it. Friends came by, and I didn't get up for them. I was like, rude, I can't move. In the middle of the night, I must have pulled a hammy or something, and I looked down, and my leg's blown up. I'm like, what the hell? I need to go to ER. The old hypochondriac kicks in on me, and I'm like, I'm in trouble here. It's finally, age is finally going to take me down. Fluids around my heart. I mean, I got all these things going in my head. I'm Google searching symptoms like a fool. And my blood pressure is fine. I just had an injury, and it was inflamed.
Mike, we're going to have to get the old service elevator running right there, get you up and down.
No. Don't put me on the service elevator because that is the kiss of death. There's the soccer team. Sorry we didn't get a hold of you, Coach. Yeah, the Tritons are in the house, which we'll be able to talk a little soccer here. But, yeah. So I'm rallying, buddy, but that's a typical day in the life of a 66-year-old that's trying to stay active. So don't whine about 24, please.
Hey, well, somebody that I know is definitely hurting a little bit. Did you see this, Mike? Opening day at Dodger Stadium, a fan ran onto the field to propose to his now fiance. It went well. She said yes, which is wonderful. Good for him. But he was promptly laid out by one of the security guys.
I saw that. Oh, my gosh. Luke Shiki and the girls are in the house, thank God. So you can carry us through this next segment. Come on over, ladies, and grab yourselves a chair. Grab an Under Armour. Coach, you sit right there. We'll move baseball Ben Botham. He doesn't know one thing about soccer. Do you know anything about soccer?
Not at all.
Soccer, basketball, the guy, you know, he played college baseball. He coaches kids, and he doesn't know anything about the great game of soccer. And you girls don't need the headphones. The old man's got a loud enough voice, obviously. Well, I'm sorry. I was reaching out to Amanda. I think she might probably be on vacation or something, that we moved up here where it's a little quieter. It's not as much fun. You don't get to see all the activity, but at least we can have a conversation. Coach, thanks for bringing the ladies down today. How have you been, man?
Yeah, you're welcome. It's great to be here. I mean, this place is huge. We couldn't find you.
Well, I forgot to tell the bartender. Now, are you all 21 years old?
No, I am.
Okay. Well, then you might have just stayed there, because that's normally where we stage it. You might have just stayed there and had a couple of beverages and never came up.
I'm an athlete. I'd never drink.
That a girl. Pull that microphone a little closer to you, and then we'll work our way across. So, Coach, let's talk about let's get a little bio on you for our audience that, you know, we do these Triton Times about every week, and we have a blast doing them. A little bio on your journey to Eckerd.
I played at Eckerd. Obviously, I'm from London, England, and I came out here in 2006 and played at Eckerd. I was here for 4 years, but played 3 years, and now I'm back. And between that, obviously, started my coaching career, and most recently at UNC Charlotte in North Carolina, and before that, Delta State University in the Mississippi Delta. Found my way back to Eckerd, 17 years almost to the day since I first came out here.
You know, it's amazing when you talk to all the coaches in the Eckerd community, how many actually had the basketball team down, ladies basketball team last week. How many of you coaches played for Eckerd? You've got that emotion, you know, that emotional equity of being a Triton yourself. And then now you share that with the young ladies that you're coaching. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's great to be a part of a tremendous coaching staff, and we all get along really well. But you're right, a high percentage of us have that history and that playing career at Eckerd, and it means a lot. I try to pass it down to the girls all the time. I tell them about the goals I scored all the time. I think they're bored of hearing them already. It's a lot of fun to work with such a great coaching staff and people who really care about Eckerd.
Yeah, do you have to be English to be the head coach, whether it's men's or women's over there? I'm just asking.
Yeah. Fletch and I are literally from the same place. You know, we grew up together. Our parents.
Oh, you did?
Friends. Yeah, our parents.
Oh, my gosh.
Friends since they were teenagers.
That is really cool story.
Yeah. He's a few years younger than me, so I've known him all my life, and we grew up together. We played professionally together in England before we came out here to America. So yeah, we're pretty close. So yes.
Are you a golfer too?
I am a golfer. Yeah, I'm better.
So you're gonna be Fletcher's guy when he found out that I have a golf radio show, and then Bill Butner's retiring. I might get him in the mix.
Yeah.
So now you're the guys are gonna be hitting me up for rounds of golf.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, that's fine. At least you guys can play. I'm a hack, can't play. It'd be a waste of the rounds.
That's all right. I look forward to it.
Okay, so let's talk about your Lady Tritons this year.
Yeah, I'm excited. We're in spring season right now, and the girls that we have, we've got 15 players. Two are actually going to move on, so we really have 13 players.
So you got a young team.
Yeah, we do have a pretty young team, and we have a big class coming in. But I'm really excited about the work that these young ladies are putting in right now. And then obviously they're going to get the summer break, and then we'll hit the road running in August, ready to go and win as many games as we can.
Okay, so explain to the audience, because obviously it's a bit confusing right now, and we have a relationship with the Rowdies. Rowdy season just starting,
yep.
And they'll go spring and through the summer. Your season, you're training. You still have some games though during the spring, right?
Yeah, we played today.
You did play today.
No, we're going to play this evening. We go to St. Leo and we'll play Daytona State in a spring exhibition game this evening.
Oh well, thank you coming over on a game day.
Yeah.
That's going above and beyond.
Absolutely.
So in the fall is when you know it's game time.
Yeah. Yeah, the fall season is
obviously. It's the same thing with the men too.
Yeah, we play it exactly the same season.
I'm old man. I need to get my arms around the different seasons, the changes, because the high school here is the middle of the year.
Yep.
And so then they have a Champions League, the rest of the year.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, so now you're just kind of, you know, you're saying goodbye to some of the ladies that have contributed,
yep.
and you're formulating your chemistry for the fall. And do a lot of them stick around for the summer?
They'll tend to play summer leagues kind of all over the country. You know, we've got girls from everywhere, so they'll go home and play. And then Ash will probably train with a team back in Ireland. And they tend to play over the summer. They're not really here. I mean, as soccer coaches, NCAA rules, we can't do anything with them over the summer. Our strength and conditioning coach can, but rules prevent
us. I was going to say, you adhere to that? Can you call them?
Yeah, we do adhere to that, just in case, you know, one day it ever comes back.
You know, I didn't realize when I started getting involved with Eckerd College the intensity of that conference. I mean, it's the SEC of Division II.
Yeah.
I've got Nicole Scales; she's an intern for me, and I went to some of the basketball games, and I was incredibly impressed. And they had a great year; their best year ever.
Yeah.
As they advanced to the Sweet 16, but man, the intensity in that conference is.
It's phenomenal.
It's phenomenal.
Every sport, top to bottom. You know,
a lot of those D2 schools, and you guys included, could win some of the smaller Division I programs.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's a big recruitment for me right now. Is you know, I'm competing with Division I schools, and I'm getting young ladies that would rather come here, commit to a great school like Eckerd, but also come and compete in the Sunshine State Conference. It's very important, and I use it as a part of my recruiting.
Well, I'm certainly you do. All right, let's talk to some of these young ladies. Where you're from, your name, your position, and then I'll ask some crazy questions.
Yeah. So I'm Ashley Spann. I'm from Dublin, Ireland.
and I'm a center midfielder.
Dublin, Ireland, a place that I've always wanted to go to.
Definitely should.
I want to go over there and watch Notre Dame and Boston College in football. They play American football there too. So what year are you?
I'm a junior.
You're a junior. Okay, we'll get this. There you go, Ben. Thank you. So you're a junior. You got another year. And have you been at Eckerd all 3 years?
3 years, yeah. But first year was COVID, so I really only had last year to play and last season. So I've played for 2 seasons.
How'd you find Eckerd, or did they find you?
They found me. I was in a recruitment agency, so I always knew I wanted to go to America. And then our former coach, Danielle, reached out to me, and I just saw the location and knew about Eckerd, and I knew it was the place I needed to go to.
Well, when you saw the beaches and the water, it wasn't too tough of a decision, was it?
No, Google Images sold my decision.
I know.
It wasn't even Danielle, it was Google Images.
And no offense, Luke, but I say this to every coach. You guys aren't great recruiters. You don't have to be, man. You just do Google Maps, or you get them here on campus, or their parents come with them. They say, you're going here.
Yeah, no comment.
No comment. Yeah, it's a great sale though, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Like I say, it's not.
It's home for you.
Yeah, it's not an easy recruit when we're competing with, you know, top Division One schools, but we do. We compete with top Division One schools, and we try to get them to come here instead.
Gotcha. What's your favorite memory so far on your 3 years at Eckerd from a soccer perspective? I've asked this before, and some of the girls or the guys have told me something outlandish. I'm like, well, that's cool, but we're
asking the girl from Dublin.
Yeah. Why don't you? Your favorite Eckerd soccer moment for yourself?
I think, so we played St. Leo last year in our conference opener at home. And St. Leo, they're a big rival to us. And I was the lucky one to score the winning header. So I think that was a highlight of my season last year.
That wasn't a highlight right now? tell him, he's a hard worker. All right. You want to do a shout out to anybody back home?
I mean, sure.
We archive this and they can listen to it. You can let them know.
It's my family.
Their names?
My parents, Dervil and Michael, and my siblings.
Michael, I love that name for some reason.
It's very popular.
Yes.
My siblings, Connor, Ness, and Rachel.
Has anybody in your family been over?
Yeah, my parents always visit me. Cause
I'm sure they do.
Everyone in Ireland needs a sun holiday, so they they were lucky that they have a daughter to bring them to Florida every year.
Well, next year, guess what I'm going to do with you? I'm going to have you on our St. Patrick special.
Of course.
Please don't.
No. I'm already recruiting her. I'm not even going to pass it to you or Ryan or Amanda. I'll just get a hold of her. And you bring some of the ladies down, and we'll have some St. Patty's fun. All right. What are you majoring in, young lady?
I'm a biology major, psychology minor.
Man, there's a lot of psychology majors, and when they get done with doing the show with me, they always say, Could we use you for our thesis? I'm like, no. No psychology on the old man. Oh, I appreciate you coming down. Next year, we're launching a sports streaming channel here later in April. We're going to start doing some of you guys' games as well.
Amazing.
Yeah, we'll be out there. We're going to do every sport we're going to attempt to do. I don't think we'll be doing sailing, but we're going to try to do every one of the sports.
That'd be great.
All right. Well, thank you very much for come on down and pass that down. Yeah, Coach. No offense, but the recruiting side of it, just pictures.
Oh, absolutely. No, you're not wrong. Nowhere near.
All right. So your name, young lady?
My name's Emma Lou Smith. I'm from Connecticut.
From Connecticut. So we got a little red, white, and blue in the house. It's amazing. I have the basketball tournament program, and I look at all the cities where all these schools, where all the kids are from. Oh my gosh, it's international flavor everywhere, from the coaching staff. So you're holding up the red, white, and the blue for us. All right, what year are you?
I'm a sophomore.
You're just a sophomore, and what position do you play?
Forward.
forward. Did you? How'd you find Eckerd? Did you get to come down on a visit?
So this is actually my first semester at Eckerd.
Oh my! You are a rookie.
Yeah. I transferred here this semester.
Emma's a product of the new transfer portal.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yes.
The new rules and the new way that it works. We came across each other at the end of last year, and we got her in January as quickly as we could. And she's here training with us in the spring, and she'll be for our first season in the fall.
Well, welcome to Florida. I'm sure you're enjoying it. You're probably still caught up in everything that's going on. And, you know, you're from up north. I'm from up north. And you're like, man, this is great. And you're calling family and saying, what's it like up there? And you know it's snowing.
Yep.
And it's, you know, 82 degrees.
It's very nice here.
So what are your plans as far as a major? Have you picked one yet?
Yeah, marketing.
Marketing? Well, I'll be looking for interns. Nicole's graduating. I'd prefer a sophomore, somebody that can sustain a couple of years.
Definitely.
So I'll give you one of my cards or later on here somewhere. I'm dead serious. Shout out to anybody at home?
My mom and dad, I would say Lisa and Jeremy Smith.
All right. Well, we'll get you the information. They can hear this conversation. So where were you when you entered the transfer portal?
I was at Central Connecticut State University.
Central Connecticut. All right. And you were there a year and a half and then decided to come down where it's warm. So what do you think of the portal? If you guys don't mind, we'll take a break at the top, and I'll carry this over, and we'll come back because you couldn't find us. But I want to talk to you about the transfer portal and how you guys are utilizing it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you did anybody give you an assistant there, or you just decided that you're going to enter the transfer portal?
Yeah, I kind of decided within myself, spoke to my family, and I knew that I wanted to come to Florida. We bought a house here my senior year of high school,
oh.
So I had the Florida connection already, and I had heard of Eckerd, but I looked within the conference, but Eckerd was the best school for me.
Well, great, great choice, and I'm sure your family is here.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a home run for you then.
Yeah, it worked out perfect.
Why'd you waste the shout out to them then? I'm just kidding. Yeah. Well, next time, bring him down here.
Yeah.
He'll be coming in the next couple of years. But yeah. Well, you don't even have a great memory.
Yeah.
Want to move? I'll be talking to you about a marketing opportunity. And push that microphone in front of that young lady. And last, of course, in the coach's heart as he's looking over at you. What your name, please?
I'm Kendall Drummond, and I'm from Valrico, Florida.
So you're a Floridian.
Yes.
So now the state's actually recognized, right? All right. What year are you, young lady?
I'm a sophomore.
So. You're a sophomore. So yeah, like you said, you got a youth movement going on. What position do you play?
Forward, outside midfield.
Outside midfield. That, you know what that means to me? I got to have coach give me dummy soccer for dummies.
She's a right attacker.
Gotcha. Okay. Gotcha. I got educated during the World Cup. You don't know Jack either, so don't sit over there. Now, we always bring in for our soccer conversation with the Rowdies. We bring people in. Maybe we'll start recruiting from some of your players. I'm serious for that conversation. Your favorite memory so far?
My favorite memory would have to be this season against UT, University of Tampa.
Your biggest rivalry,
yes,
in every sport.
It was the last 40 seconds, and we were down by one, and I scored, and we ended up tying the game.
Bravo, that was huge. Yeah, you probably got a few pats on the back and everybody hugging you and spraying in.
Yeah.
Beautiful. That's a great memory.
Yeah, it was a really good time.
Yeah, and you're only a sophomore.
Yes, sir.
That is very cool. What are you majoring in? Have you decided yet?
Psychology.
Yeah, here we go again. Yeah. I'm not kidding you, all the sports.
Yes.
See what I'm dealing with every day.
Yeah. You probably walk away and shake your head and go, no response, girls. They're probably trying to pick your brain.
They know what I'm doing.
I'm taking notes. Yeah, and taking notes. Hey, we're going to take a break. If you want to stick around, conversation a little bit more after the top hour about the league and maybe get some more interaction with the ladies. That sound good? About 10 minutes, and we're going to bring a high school baseball team in. So we'll be back here on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. We'll be back with the Eckerd soccer women, and then we'll have the Largo Packers are in the house, the baseball team. So we'll switch it up a little bit. We'll be right back on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.